Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Sadly, in John 5, verse 40, Jesus says that many will not come. And that's quite a thing, isn't it? Verse 40, but you are not willing to come to me, that you may have life, will not come. Maybe you've just been singing empty words this morning. Perhaps your determined will is you will never come to Jesus. Perhaps you're happy to come to church. Maybe you do that to please a friend or parent. Maybe you're compelled to come to Shepshed every week. But in your heart, that's all you're going to do. The one thing I'm not going to do is come to Jesus. Maybe for most of us, we have come. And what do we do now if we have come? And here in John 5, verse 40 is the end of a long discourse with those opponents of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as I mentioned earlier before we read it, he's just healed a man who's been disabled for 38 years. He did that on the Jewish Sabbath, which for his opponents was an offense worthy of death. And more than that, he made God his father and made himself equal with God. But verse 40 really is the bottom line. By verse 40, Jesus has set forth at least six witnesses as to why those who heard him should come to him for life. And as we hear our Lord Jesus speak in verse 40, yet you will not come. There is a sense when I'm sure we're meant to understand our Lord Jesus finds that completely unbelievable. I mean, why is it? Why won't you come? And so for a brief time this morning, I want us to look at the evidence, the witnesses that they reject, and what's at stake in rejecting these witnesses that point to Jesus Christ. And then as we close, I want us to consider our response as we are brought face to face, as it were, with these witnesses. Are we still going to go out as we came in? I'm not going to come. I'll come to church. I remind you, you don't need reminding, but this is Shepshed Word of Life. It's not a place of death. You come to Jesus and you have life. That's what's at stake. We can go fuzzy around the edges, but believing in Jesus Christ is the ultimate matter of life and death. And that's what's at stake if we reject him. Many years ago, I was born in Edinburgh, you know that now, but many years ago, before I was a Christian, I was a trade union negotiator. In Scotland, you can be a trade union negotiator and a Christian, by the way. But I was a pretty wicked trade union negotiator. But I spent many of my days arguing with unreasonable managers. Every manager was unreasonable, in my view. That's just the way it is. And we would argue, and I would argue on behalf of a team of negotiators, that the management just had to come to their senses, and we had made a very reasonable claim, and all they had to see was it was reasonable and act, and our members would be happy, and we'd all go away very pleased. It was all down to them. And I had a manager who argued well, but he always destroyed us by mixing his proverbs. You might be familiar with the idea of mixing metaphors, but he was a unique man. He could mix his proverbs, and they were very disarming. So after half an hour of negotiation and putting it plain to him that he just had to see and act, he would say, "Peter, you know, we've done everything. You can get a horse to the water, but you can't get it to change its spots midstream." And we laughed as you laughed, and that was the end. Our case was lost, and he had baffled us by his mixing of proverbs. Here in John 5, our Lord Jesus really describes those who will not believe as those stubborn horses and mules. And God has done everything. There's nothing more for God to do. There will be no further sign. Jesus has done it all. And you will not come. That's the charge. And it's life and death. This whole chapter is couched in the language of death and life. Let me just point out a few to them. They sit together. So at verse 16 of chapter 5, for this reason the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him. Verse 18, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him. And it goes on, 21, for as a father raises the dead and gives life to them. And then there's the words of life that sit there. They're there in 24. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word, believes in him who sent me, has everlasting life. Verse 26, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. Verse 29, and those who will come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. And the whole matter is couched in words of death and of life. And then at verse 34, yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. And saved is the great synonym. It is the great statement of life. Jesus Christ came into the world that we might be saved, have life. John, at the end of his gospel, explains why he's written this gospel. John 20, 30 and 31, he says, I paraphrase him, that Jesus did many other things that are not in this book. But the things that are written are sufficient that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you might have life in his name. And you will not come, verse 40. So what did they reject? And really from verses 33 to 39, we'll just walk through them. Jesus is going to set out the enormity of their rejection. He set six things here, six witnesses. So the New King James has witness, sometimes it has testimony. It's the same word as witness. These are witness, and you are rejecting this witness. Any one of them would have been sufficient. So they had John, verses 33 on. You've sent to John, and he's borne witness to the truth. I don't receive a testimony from man, but I say these things so you might be saved. But he was the burning and shining light. You were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. You went out to John. John wasn't a stranger to them. All of Jerusalem and all of Judea, they all went out to John, this crazy man in the wilderness, dressed in a strange way and telling people to repent. You went out to him, and John told you that the Christ was coming. John's testimony. What was John's testimony? You can read it in John chapter 1, verse 29. John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You went and saw him. For a while you listened to him." And you're rejecting his testimony because you will not come. Secondly, they had the miracles. That's a verse 36. But I have greater witness than John's. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me. This, in context, is after healing this man who had a disability for 38 years. I mean, how did I do that? I mean, don't the works, don't they just witness? You know, Jesus has already in John's gospel changed water into wine at the wedding in Cana. He will shortly feed the 5,000. That's John 6. 5,000 men. There's maybe 12 or 13,000 men and children. He's going to walk on the water on the Sea of Galilee out to the disciples in a boat. The works, the miracles, and you're rejecting them. I mean, how do you think the miracles were done? They speak of someone who is God. They had the witness of the Father, thirdly, and the Father himself who sent me. He testified of me. You've neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. The Father spoke from heaven as Jesus was baptized. They never heard because they weren't willing to hear. Who was that voice from heaven? This is my beloved Son. I mean, God has spoke. And they rejected the witness of the Father. They had Jesus. Verse 38. You do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. The one that the Father sent was the Son, Jesus. Jesus is standing in front of them. Jesus has been accused of them, for he has healed a man with a disability of 38 years in their sight. He did it on the Sabbath, and they seek to kill him because he did that. And they reject him. Who is Jesus? Well, John has told us already in his gospel from verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God in the beginning, the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. Here he is, God in human flesh, sent by the Father, witness, and you're rejecting the very presence of the Word of God incarnate, very God of very God, truly man. And they had the Scriptures, and they rejected the Scriptures, the witness of the Scriptures. Verse 39, you search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which witness, testify of me. And they were custodians of the Scriptures. I mean, they loved the Scriptures. They were experts in the Scriptures. And they search the Scriptures because in them there's eternal life. But in them there's eternal life through the Son of God who would come. And they've made the Scriptures say anything other than Jesus Christ is the Messiah. So the Scriptures, they accept the Scriptures, set forth the Messiah's coming. The Savior of the world's coming, but we don't think it's you. You don't match up. Born in Bethlehem, the Scriptures say that. Making the blind to see, the Scriptures say that. They reject the Scriptures. And they reject, they had the witness of the disciples. That's 6, I think. I mean, why have these men and women, why have they left everything and followed me? You know, what is, most of them are unlearned. They're just simple Jews and fishermen and tax collectors and and a bunch of sinners. And that's their witness. And all of that, you know, we need to see the enormity of that before we read the words of verse 40. Because in the light of all that, all these witnesses, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. It is the same cry from a Savior who would save. As he cries in Luke 13, you don't need to turn there, I'm sure you know the passage. Luke 13:34, as he weeps over Jerusalem, 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 how often I would have gathered you, but you would not. And it's beyond excuse. It is overwhelming, and they will not believe. That's what happened 2,000 years ago. But we're not there, we're here. And so what about us? I mean, the same evidence is here. And the same Jesus is here by his Spirit. And the same Jesus speaks in his word. And what's our response? Jesus, I come. Jesus, I'll never come. I'm determined never to come. I'll not have you rule over me. So how much evidence do you want, friend? I mean, you know, how much more do you want God to do? So let me just run back through these six, because what they rejected by way of witness testimony was dreadful. It was a dreadful rejection. But let me just point out to you that if you remain rejecting Jesus Christ, then you need to know what you're rejecting, and it's far worse. And the responsibility on you is greater than it was on them. So they had John, and they rejected him. They had all the Old Testament prophets as well, but they saw John and rejected him. So we have the Old Testament prophets, we have John the Baptist, and we have all the apostles. And we have all of that. The apostles who saw Jesus Christ alive, he was seen for 40 days, many infallible proofs, sometimes by 500 people at once. He rose from the grave, evidence overwhelming. We reject all the apostles. They had Jesus' works, water into wine, healing a man who was disabled for 38 years. But we have all his works. We have his greatest work. He went to the cross, Calvary, willingly, as our substitute. He bore all the holy wrath of God in his own body on the tree. He who knew no sin, did no sin, was made sin. We reject the witness of the cross. We reject the witness of the empty tomb. We reject his ascension. He was seen to rise through the clouds bodily. He's promised to come back in like manner. We reject all of that. Don't believe it. They rejected the word of the Father. So do we, and we reject the testimony of the Holy Spirit of God. Holy Spirit who comes to convict the world of sin, of judgment, righteousness to come. None of that. We reject it all. They had the scriptures and rejected them. We've got the Old Testament, but we've got the New Testament as well. We reject all of that. Just the words of men. Don't believe it, full of mistakes, rubbish. The word of God is true in every part, no errors. true in every prediction it's made, true in the predictions it's made that will still come to pass. And we reject it. They had the disciples, and so do we. 2,000 years of the Christian church, every Christian is a witness. And that's what Jesus calls us to be in Acts 1. You're my witnesses. And every conversion is a witness. And every Christian's testimony, I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I'm found. And once I rejected the Bible. Once I thought it was all made up. But now I believe and I know it to be true. And Jesus is alive and I know him and I pray and he speaks and I respond and I love him and he died for me. Every testimony, I don't know how many millions there are. And if you're an unbeliever this morning, you reject all of them. I've got five brothers. I mentioned that earlier. One of them, none of them believe, but one of them I remain in contact with regularly. And he says, the only thing that bothers me is that what you believe, my scoutmaster believed. And I rejected it then, and I'm still rejecting it. And we are witnesses. And there's nothing more. And you'll never come. That's your determinate will. I'm not going to come. J.C. Ryle, a worthy of an earlier year, but he says this. It is a want of will to come to Christ for salvation that will be at the last, will be found at the last to have shut many out of heaven. It's a want of the will. There are big theological discussions and arguments about the human will. But, you know, you need to understand you have a will. And you believe by an exercise of your will. And Jesus says you will not. But you can. J.C. Ryle says, it is not our sin that keeps us out of heaven, because all manner of sin can be forgiven. It is not a decree of God, J.C. Ryle says, because he desires all to be saved. And it's not a limit on Christ's work of redemption, because he paid a price sufficient for every sinner. But it's the will. It is our unwillingness. And it's life, or it's death. And it's no different, Old Testament, New Testament. You know, I'm not a Moses, but I've said before you today exactly what Moses said before the people. I call heaven and earth, and Jesus knows you've heard. If you remain as you are, if you will not come, you will not come for life. That means you will choose death. And if I might add to J.C. Ryle, it's going to be a want of the will not only keeps us out of heaven, but will send us to hell. And friend, if you're not a believer this morning, you need to take to heart God's word. And may it never be said of you, but you are not willing to come to Jesus and have life. If you're a Christian this morning, then you have come, and you're a witness. And you need to remember your responsibilities. Because maybe your friends are so, and you know them, and they're not coming, and they're not willing to come. And they think the Bible's nonsense. And they think you've got a blind faith, and you've jumped over some abyss, and hoping for the best. You need to tell them the Bible's true. And you need to tell them that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And you need to tell them that you were lost. And you need to remind them what's at stake. It's not a lifestyle choice. I mean, sometimes people speak to Christians like, well, I'm glad it's working for you. Don't let people patronize you with that. You don't have a better lifestyle choice. You've got life. And they've got death. And they need to believe. And you need to tell them what they're rejecting. They're rejecting John the Baptist. They're rejecting the prophets. They're rejecting the apostles. They're rejecting all the works of Jesus Christ, all his miracles. I mean, there are some people, and sadly, they call themselves Christians, whose life is to explain away every miracle of Jesus. You know, to have a Jesus who doesn't do any miracles is a very interesting concept, alien to the Word of God. And there's a witness of the Father and the Spirit and the witness of Jesus and the Scriptures. And there's Christians. Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come.